Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok, sitting in for the vacationing Ray Graff. The New York Times reported today that Hillary Clinton is setting up shop in a new Clinton Foundation headquarters at the Time Life Building in Manhattan. There's no official word yet, but it looks suspiciously like she's mounting a bid for 2016. If that's the case, the question then becomes who will run with her and who will run against her. There's talk of Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick as a potential running mate. At least I'm talking about it. Will the new rising star of the Democratic Party, Newark Mayor Cory Booker, fresh off his win in the Senate primary race, also be a factor? Or will the race card surprise us? Who is your Democratic dream team? Today we want your take on the major races we have coming up in the next few years. Now's the time to place your bets. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment today's below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Ladies and gentlemen, Vox Pop is your show. I'd love to hear what you think. Now, there may be people who think that what we don't need is to continually talk about who should run for office and the rest. But I disagree. I think it's terribly important to do that because it shows you what the mood of the country, the mood of the people may be at a particular time. You know, I was just thinking about this. And by the way, I need your help. I'm not going to sit here and just talk all day. You know, it's your show. You got to be here. Okay. So what I was thinking is this. One of the things that helped Barack Obama win, believe it or not, was that he was a man of color. And instead of people boycotting the election, instead of people not being involved in the election, they came out who ordinarily might not have voted or might have voted in many lower numbers. So then I said to this morning to somebody, well, it could be a vice president like my one of my favorites, Deval Patrick. From Massachusetts, there would be a signal that you're not forgotten. We have a white woman running. We have a black man running. Will that continue to show that people care, they're concerned, the Democratic Party may be concerned, and that they can get somebody out to vote? Because that's how you win elections. Now, if you don't believe me, I can tell you that every one of these campaigns has basically an African-American desk, a Jewish desk, because we know that people tend to vote in numbers. So what I can say to you is that that's the way elections in this country are won or lost. People stick to their primary groups. 1-800-348-2551. The phones are beginning to light up. And that's the way I want it, because without you, we're nothing. Anyway, I also wanted to mention that you can write to F. Berke, B-E-R-K-E, at WAMC.org, and let us know if you want to volunteer for the coming end of September fund drive. 1-800-348-2551. So, now I see two phones lit up, 1-800-348-2551. Now, the Democratic Party has won. You know, the president is not the most popular politician in America right now. He's making the hard decisions, and that is not the easiest thing to do. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 phones lit up now. That's good. That's very good. 1-800, I was beginning to worry that you'd let me down. 1-800-348-2551. So the question then becomes, Cory Booker, if he wins big in New Jersey, how will it look to have a New York State senator, former senator, secretary of state running, and then from an adjoining state like Massachusetts or New Jersey running with her? Is it an all-Northeastern ticket? Because people tend to vote according, as I said, to their group allegiances, and some people might want a Midwesterner there. But let's find out what you have to say. Let's go to Matthew Byrne, and here we go. Matthew, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to chime in on two potential Democratic candidates. that I think would be great for 2016. I was thinking for president, we could go Michael Bloomberg. And then vice president, I was thinking either Nancy Pelosi or Dianne Feinstein. And I'm thinking this because these two candidates are so far to the left and unelectable authoritarian control freaks that we might have a chance to get a nice libertarian candidate in, like Rand Paul.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think these would be some wonderful candidates, in my opinion, who I would like to see run. So, and other people might like them for other reasons.
Yeah, so, Matt, I take it there's a certain amount of tongue-in-cheek here.
Absolutely. It's dripping off.
Right. Right. What do you think about Joe Biden running? Would that help the ticket or not? Joe Biden,
in my book, would be a great Democratic candidate because, obviously, in my book, I would like a weak Democratic candidate. So I think Joe Biden, with some of his ridiculous comments he made during the gun control debate, it really has proved that he is unelectable and, a buffoon, to tell you the truth. And I would love to see Joe Biden run.
Well, there is some evidence based on some of the recent polling that Biden's doing quite well in a contest with Hillary. Okay. Thank you, Matthew. I understand that you and I may not be on the same ticket, so to speak, but I really respect you for calling and giving us your opinion. Thanks so much.
We may disagree, Alan, but our differing opinions are what make America great.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alan.
Let's go to Peter in Stockbridge, 1-800-348-2551. Peter, you're on.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good.
I would love to see either Wendy Davis, who literally stood by her convictions,
right,
or Michelle Obama.
So Wendy Davis. So Wendy Davis in Texas, standing up and filibustering, standing by her convictions, very popular. But, I think that the big question would be, could she become governor of Texas before she got on a national ticket?
Or maybe a senator or congresswoman. But the thing is that she got this national reputation for what she did, whether you agree or disagree with what she did. I happen to agree.
Yeah, me too.
And obviously she knows the system. You know, my personal thing is, all the talk candidates make before they go into office, and we turn around and we say, hey, why didn't you do that? Obama with closing Gitmo. Well, so once you get into the office, they can't obviously trust people like Ms. Bachman with the information.
Right.
Once you get in the office, you find out things, and it's not as simple as what you promised.
Yep.
I accept that. So I think she could. And as a vice president, she would learn quickly about presidential stuff. I think Hillary learned as Secretary of State, seriously, a lot more that would prepare her to be president.
But you also have thoughts about Michelle Obama, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think she'd be phenomenal because what she could do as vice president for the general health of the country. We see her working as first lady. I think it would keep Obamacare going, which I think is important.
But do you see an all-woman ticket?
I would love to see an all-woman ticket.
Uh-huh.
I would love to see an all-woman ticket. A friend of mine once said something to the effect of, give me a half-black, half-Hispanic woman who's Jewish in a wheelchair, and now you've got the ultimate candidate.
I'm not so sure. Hey, Peter, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem, Alan. Take care. Okay. See you around. Bye.
1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are so good, I can't possibly tell you. 1-800-348-2551. Don't be calling me at the end of this program saying you didn't let me in. Now's the time to do it. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Glee in Clifton Park. Okay, Lee, you're on.
Hi, I'd go for an all-woman ticket. In fact, I'd like to see Nancy Pelosi along with Hillary. And,
well, the last guy called up, he was making fun of Nancy Pelosi, the guy before, who tends to, according to the polling, leave people somewhat alienated. But you don't believe that?
No, I don't. She has the congressional experience that we need. She's been experience. She knows what she's talking about. She knows these yahoos and how to get around them. And Hillary's been out of the Senate for a while, so she needs somebody who's really up to date on what's happening and the behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's an interesting point. She would have somebody who could really do the necessary work in and with the Congress.
Right, as Joe Biden has done now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, just as Biden has done for Obama.
Well, I want to thank you for calling. It's great.
All right, you're
great,
welcome.
Great to hear from you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a very, very short break, and we'll be back to answer all your calls.
Support for WMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Don Mueller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handcrafted glass, and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and DonMuellerGallery.com. Healthy Living Market and Cafe, featuring the Divine Wine Store with wines from all over the world with pairings, monthly tastings, and events. HealthyLivingMarket.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. And Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools, in homes, and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence. SpringbrookNY.org.
And we are back, taking your phone calls. There are two free phones. These are going quick, so get on the phone and tell us what you think. As John from Shelburne Falls does, 1-800-348-2551. John, you're on.
Yeah, I was just calling to tell you that if Hillary Clinton was a nomination, I would not vote for her. Mm-hmm. I would actually vote for Chris Christie over Hillary Clinton.
Is that your normal predilection, John, to vote Democratic or Republican?
Democratic.
Uh-huh. Okay, and what is it that you have that about Hillary that makes you so anti-Hillary?
You know, I think it's her personality. I'm just not a big fan of hers. I think she's got an edge to her. I think she has baggage. You know, I'd vote for anybody who I thought was honest. And I'm not saying she's dishonest, but I just think she has a whole lot of people that she would be beholden to. And I just want somebody that acts straightforward on the issues and not complicate things.
Am I allowed to ask if you voted for Obama?
Sure, I did.
And did you
both
vote
times.
Did you vote for Obama in the primary against Hillary?
I did.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, John, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to John in Rome. Hi, John.
Hi, Alan. Listen, you know, I was calling because I would vote against Hillary only be on the premise that I think that there should only be one president per family. And
why is that?
Well, if you look back at John Quincy Adams, Benjamin Harrison, and George Bush Jr., those are three examples why we should only have one president per family.
What are you?
And, you know, we got 300 million people in this country, and with so many other people, let's circulate it, rotate it with some other people.
Well, is that fair to Hillary?
Well, I think she can have an important role to play in the government like she did as Secretary of State, but I think that there should be, you know, only one president per family. I think there's that we get better quality if we circulate it around.
Yeah, you don't like primogeniture.
You know, that's correct.
Yeah.
And historically, it also, like I mentioned, those three persons in particular.
I like John Quincy Adams. What do you have against him?
Oh, I think that I was more in favor of Andrew Jackson.
Okay, John.
And I didn't like the corrupt bargain between him and Clay.
John, you're a good man. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, thanks,
yeah, right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are really good. Let's go to Brendan in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Brendan, you're on.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, to me, it's less about sort of a left and right issue, which I find that a lot of people are making it at this point. Therein lies the discussion about Hillary. And I think that, you know, I would be very, very concerned to see her on a ticket. But there are also a number of Republicans that I'd be concerned to see on tickets also. And I think right now, you know, there have been a lot of crimes on both sides of the aisle that a lot of establishment candidates seem very willing to cover up for or go along with or make a marriage of convenience and not deal with. And I think that that's very, very detrimental to our country. We're in kind of a difficult position. I'm not going to state exactly what, because I think everybody has their own conceptualization of what's going on with this country right now. But I think that there is a consensus that things are not as good maybe as they once were. And I think that that is because of the dishonesty present in politics. So I'd really, I think, to address that, like to see a split ticket with maybe a very socialist and then also a very libertarian candidate, because although neither of those parties represents anything mainstream right now, they really do represent alternative thinking. So I would think people who might be considered polar opposites, maybe Representative Dennis Kucinich and Representative Ron Paul on a ticket together.
Yeah, but Brendan, you don't really think that's going to happen on a major party ticket, do you?
No, well, actually, I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen on a major party ticket. And I think what's going on right now is that there'd be a high cost in terms of the productivity of this country. We've gotten used to doing things a certain way, and it becomes difficult to change one's behavior.
Sure.
So I think if we were to do that, it would necessarily endure for the country a lot of suffering and a lot of difficult times. But I think that the alternative is sort of like if you have a household budget, and I'm not meaning just finance here, but if you have a process going on that's out of control that you need to get under control,
sure,
it always is easier to do nothing about it today and put it off for tomorrow. But inevitably, that leads to worse outcomes. So Hillary Clinton's my way of thinking would be very dangerous, considering a lot of her sort of questionable activities with, Henry Kissinger and groups related to that, which is not to say that the Republicans don't have their own brand of lunacy going on.
Okay, well, just one last question. And that is,
sure,
what do you have? What's your problem with Hillary?
My problem with Hillary Clinton is her willingness to promote sort of a pan-Americanism, that the United States should be free to set the norms of international law, yet not be required to abide by them. And I think while that does have a short-term payout for American hegemony the world over, mm-hmm, I think in the long term, the consequences to our productive capacity, our political soft power around the world, and ultimately our ability to compete and succeed, is going to be drastically and terribly impacted by Hillary's sort of participation in that U.S.-run global government architecture that might be okay if only the U.S. would also submit itself to it. But at this point, it's unwilling to.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting comments. And I thank you so much, Brendan, for making them. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Caroline in Sharon, Connecticut. Hey, how are things in Sharon, Caroline?
Okay, and I want to say that I feel that in 2008, a lot of Democrats liked both candidates and were torn. I supported Hillary. I really wanted her. I wanted a woman president. I also liked Obama a lot. So when Hillary couldn't make it, I supported Obama fully. But I feel that there's a lot of pent-up energy, particularly probably with women, to have Hillary make it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love Elizabeth Warren. I'd love to see down the pike that she might have a chance. But now I think Hillary has the experience. She has the pent-up enthusiasm of many, many people, and I think she would be difficult to beat.
Okay, well, thank you for that wonderful comment. Appreciate it very much. Here we go.
You're welcome.
And we'll go to Bob in Port Ewan. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing, Alan?
Good.
I'd like to inject a new idea in this. I think about 90% of the American public, if you really pin them down on it, would be totally in favor of sequestering both political parties. I think it would be time for a third political party with candidates who are actually interested in governing. And I believe the two who would best be qualified would be Olympia Snowe from Maine mm-hmm. and John Houseman from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
She refused to run for the Senate again because she was totally fed up with the way things were going mm-hmm. In government.
How come third John parties, hey, Bob, how come third parties have never done well?
Well, occasionally they have.
The Bull Moose Party, you can talk about the Bull Moose Party and stuff, but really a splinter from the Republicans.
So,
I've always thought that our traditions, our history, people are born, their mothers tell them they're Democrats or Republicans. I know mine did. There's a sort of almost a religious organization of these parties. I've just never seen any evidence that third parties will do well. We certainly saw Ralph Nader's candidacies and other people. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Getting back to the two I'm suggesting here.
Yeah.
She refused to run for the Senate again because...
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, okay.
The way the government is going.
Yeah.
John Houseman ran on the Republican ticket, mm-hmm. but he was first one to quit because it was too liberal.
And also because he wasn't catching on, let's face it.
Yeah. And also, I suggest that they should run as co-presidents with Houseman handling international affairs. Mm. She, an ambassador to China who spoke the language, mm-hmm. and so running domestic affairs.
Okay. Bob, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. Go to Jonathan in Rhinebeck, 1-800-348-2551, two free phones. Let's get them going. Go ahead, Jonathan. Jonathan? Okay, is Jonathan from Rhinebeck there? Hmm. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look like he's there. Okay, Jonathan. Thank you. All right, Jonathan's off. Yesterday I was doing the show and somebody called up and says, you have to be by the phone when you make the call. You got to be waiting. Somebody said, well, I was only a couple of seconds late. No, that doesn't do it. Okay, let's go to Mark in Amherst. All right, Mark in Amherst, 1-800-348-2551. Go, Mark.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good for you. Congratulations for being at the phone.
Thank you. I wanted to nominate Elizabeth Warren, actually, because I think she is going to be successful on the front of climate change. Mm-hmm. And while a lot of Democrats are starting to kind of fade away from recognizing climate change and being passionate about it for a lot of different reasons, which I understand, she seems to be very conscious of it in a way that Hillary Clinton has a legacy of not being. And I say this largely because of her and her husband's role in Al Gore's promotion on climate change and the fact that they wanted a lot of money to coincide with recognizing climate change and thinking that climate change awareness can be on a platform similar to capitalism and that it can be something that can make money and serve a different agenda, but that's not the way we're going to solve climate change.
But in terms of practical politics, we sort of know that the way these elections have always gone, not that they will always go this way, but the way they've always gone is that you got this Republican Party, you got this Democratic Party. The one who can field a middle range candidate wins. So that Bill Clinton, you will remember, ran as a conservative candidate when he was running. So he won because he was able to attract some people, pull them over the line, as we used to say in Capture the White Flag or Ring Alivio. Get them over the line. Elizabeth Warren, who I have great respect for, has captured the hearts of many people who are on the sort of semi-left side on these issues. I agree with you. But what are her chances of winning those needed central, independent, and Republican votes?
I agree. She would definitely need somebody who's not from New England to have her back, especially in the Midwest. I was in Iowa for a long time where there mm-hmm. was quite a bit of Republican-Democrat debate, but there certainly did seem to be one thing that people recognized, which was that their corn wasn't growing last year and that was due to drought induced by climate mm-hmm. change. So perhaps if she's able to find somebody in that region, which I really am not sure who, we could have some success on that front.
Well, Mark, how are things going in Amherst, one of my favorite towns in the entire state?
Amherst is great. I'm actually, I work at the Harvard Forest where we do long-term ecological research on climate change, and this area is beautiful right now.
Okay. Well, Mark, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Michael in Massachusetts. Michael, where, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I would not vote for Hillary simply because of her questionable behavior when she did run for the office of the presidency.
Like what?
The Bosnia. And if that was the case, you know, what else is she not being truthful with? And others, politicians, are not being truthful with. I mean, it's one thing to run, and then we put them in the office, and then when they get into office, and particularly in the black community, we don't see any change coming down the pipe. So I'm really at a loss of who I would vote for if it came down to Hillary and Christie.
Well, that's interesting. So you might vote for Christie?
Yes, if I was going to do that. But I'm really at a loss because, you know, both of them had questionable behavior.
And what do you find attractive about Christie?
Well, you know, number one, he's blunt. He's up front, you know.
He is that.
Yeah, he is real. But that blunder that Clinton made, Hillary Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton made, former secretary of the state, was that got under our skin, you know, because he was like, well, wow, we would do anything to get into that office.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think that that's what you have to do in politics to succeed?
Well, obviously, that's you shouldn't. But it's happening, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But thank you for taking my call.
Well, I want you to know, I've interviewed her a number of times, Michael, and she got my number pretty quickly. She knows she knows what she's doing. She knows who she's dealing with, and she goes with it. Hey, Michael, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, how you doing today?
I'm not so bad. I've been on an airplane all day.
Oh, boy.
Well, firstly, let's stipulate it's an impossible job.
Yeah, it is.
Secondly, I think the key attribute of a president is the ability to produce coalitions that get things done.
Mm-hmm.
That means putting together a coalition with inside his own party, but also then putting a coalition together within between all parties. Because the way the U.S. Constitution is written, the president is a relatively weak constitutional position. And therefore, the key attribute is to work within that. And key to that is making coalitions.
Okay, so who do you want?
Well, I was going to make a second point, which is you need someone who is experienced in doing that.
Okay. And that is?
And that certainly was not Mr. Obama in 2008.
Okay, but in this case, it is, yeah.
Within the Democratic Party,
yeah,
it's probably Mr. Biden.
Okay.
And within the Republican Party, it's probably a governor, but not probably Mr. Christie.
And who's your choice for vice president, Jonathan, while we have you on the phone?
In the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
I think you want to look to an up-and-coming governor who's in his 40s, who will learn and then maybe well be a candidate to become president.
But it has to be somebody who can bring votes, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does have to be someone who can bring votes. But, you know, I couldn't designate anybody.
Okay.
And the other point I'd like to make to some of our colleagues on this line is that if people have experience, they inevitably have created negatives and positives among their constituents.
Yeah, you can see that on this program.
Not everybody agrees.
You see that on this program today, sure.
Not everybody agrees. And if you become a one-issue voter, I understand that. I think we all understand that. But it's not really what gets the job done. You need somebody who...
Okay, now, Jonathan, all of that said, who do you want?
For the Democrats?
Yes.
I want Mr. Biden.
Okay, and the vice president?
I don't know enough about the governors, but because I live in a state like Connecticut, with a very able politician.
Indeed you do. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a very, very short break, 7 seconds. So if you're Sam or Jonathan from Rhinebeck, stay right there. We'll be right with you.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Current Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Legal and consulting services on regulatory issues for life insurance and annuity manufacturers and distributors. CurrentCompliance.com. Weewaka, Lake George, New York. An enrichment and revitalization historic lakefront retreat created by and for women since 1903. WIAWAKA.org for events. And Rhinebeck Artist Shops, Rhinebeck and New Paltz, providing professional picture framing, fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public. The Atwater Art Gallery upstairs in Rhinebeck, RhinebeckArt.com.
Well, we're back. We see the able Stacy Perry Rosenberry of our crack engineering staff having something on her plate in front of her that makes everybody jealous. We're not sure what it is. It could be cake with a white frosting. It could be ice cream, which I'm betting it is. Could be whipped cream. Anyway, let's go to, we're here for Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're now going to go to Sam in Kingston. Okay, Sam, play it again.
Hello.
You're on.
Okay. So, while I'm not actually a big fan of him as an actual president, I feel like you can't really have this conversation without bringing up Cuomo.
Okay. So why do you bring him up?
Because he is, you know, love him or hate him as a governor, the man can campaign.
That's for sure.
And I feel like, you know, if you were to run, it'd be a tough act to beat. I'm curious what your opinions are about that.
Well, I'll give you my opinion. No, I mean, I'll tell you what I think based on the evidence I'm seeing right now. He's got something like a 63%, which is phenomenal, approval rating in New York State. Very, very good. Very strong. But when you ask people, should he run for president, they overwhelmingly say no. What do you think that's about?
Is that something that polls have shown?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean...
Yeah. That's right.
For myself, I know I'd be concerned as I work in education and admit, you know, in education, that there has not been very good for me.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is people like him for governor. They like what he's doing. And yet when you ask him, should he be president, they say no. That's the interesting thing on this one.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I really don't know. I think it may have to do with regionalism. I wrote a column, which I don't think they liked very much earlier, in which, remember the movie, the wonderful movie, The King's Speech?
Yes.
Well, I suggested he get that guy. So I don't know why they didn't like it, but they didn't like it. In other words, his dialect and all the rest of that stuff is going to need a little bit of honing. And we know he can do it. His brother has it on the television.
Are you saying he's a little too New York?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying for some people. Now, I think he's a very, very ambitious guy. I think he has the ability to campaign, to go for it, to do what he needs to do. He's upstate now. He knows he needs upstate votes, so he's all over upstate. That's democracy. That's good, not bad. But I know the Cuomo's a little bit. And I am interested in the fact that he does not get a lot of presidential notice. Now, he told me, I'll tell you right now, that Hillary was going to run and that therefore he couldn't. See, so he's still a very young man. He gets more chances to grab the golden ring. Hello?
Okay.
You're
there? I'm still here.
You're still there. Okay, Sam. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I really am glad you brought Andrew Cuomo up. So
thank you.
That's good. All right. Let's go now to Timothy in Albany. Tim in Albany, you're on.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of make a comment about Hillary Clinton that kind of soured me was when she said that she landed in Kosovo under, like, gunfire. And
That's something I don't think you, if that happened to you, you don't forget that. You know, that's something that sticks with you. I did a couple of tours in Afghanistan myself, and I mean, there's certain things that I'm never going to, you know, forget, and that's one of them. But I think as far as the Democrat, I still think it's going to be Hillary, you know, as far as somebody that can go up, you know, maybe against Chris Christie or Marco Rubio or anybody like that.
But you know, at the time that the President Obama ran for president, the Senator Obama then, you know, very few people really knew who he was. You know, sometimes an earlier caller made a point which I really liked, which is that if you don't know who somebody is, you project your own values into them. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
So they're a blank slate. You say, well, I know this person's for universal health care when he's not, you know. And I know this person is this or that, and I want them to be this way. So I'm going to make them that way in my mind. But Hillary is pretty defined.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I would say just, you know, I'm not her advocate, but I would say that, you know, here she was in the middle of this campaign, and she had to show her macho side and all the rest. And so she may have gone a little bit too far. Al Gore, as you remember, said that he founded the internet.
Right.
Stuff goes on. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Yep. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Two free phones. Jonathan in Rhinebeck. All right, Jonathan, you're on.
Hi, it's going to be Hillary, hands down. She's going to knock it out of the park, and the numbers, the percentages are going to be huge.
How do you figure?
Just too much experience. I mean, she learned so much from being in the White House. Bill, Secretary of State, any legal background she's had, she has a tremendous resume. But I also think no matter what, there was an earlier caller talked about her baggage was going to catch up with her. Anybody walking into the White House is going to have baggage. Tremendous baggage. We just know that. We don't have to play games anymore. So, yeah, she'll have baggage, but her experience is spectacular. And I just think that this country has been so jazzed. No matter how much people may not like Obama, we love him. People love him. And now, followed by Hillary Clinton, this place is going to go wild. There's going to be huge numbers for Hillary. I would say this. If for some reason Christie gets in the race and he runs for president, and if for some bizarre reason he were to win, that'll be quite a sight to see. That'll be hilarious.
Why is that?
That's all.
Why so hilarious?
Because I think that he's a pistol. I think what we've seen him as governor has been, though somewhat effective, he's a loose cannon. And though I think he'll work really, really hard, it'll be quite a show. I'll leave it at that.
Jonathan, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to Shannon in Kinderhook. Shannon, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I just want to say that, you know, besides Jonathan.
Which Jonathan? English Jonathan or Jonathan?
No,
Jonathan?
The previous caller.
Okay, yeah, right.
There has not been one man who, since I've been listening, who said they would vote for her.
Yeah.
And I really think misogyny has a lot to do with it.
Mm.
And, you know, it goes back to that old crazy kind of thinking that, oh, my God, she gets, you know, into her mental cycle and she's just going to blow up the world. I mean, it's as stupid as that. And I don't think most people, I don't think a lot of people like her because I don't think that they like a smart, tough, woman.
She's,
and she is both of those.
I know that. I mean, as I said before, I've interviewed her, and, you know, you can't get ahead of her, that's for sure.
No. And it's just like she puts a lot of people off with that, but I think that's their own shortcoming.
Yes, but
very,
that's...
very, very smart, and... You know, and she doesn't take any crap either.
Yeah, but that's right. I mean, I will never forget that morning watching the Today Show when she talked about the vast Republican conspiracy against her husband. Well, I thought she was right. I thought she was gutsy to say it at the time. Everybody laughed at her and tried to pull an Al Gore on the internet with her and all the rest of this stuff. Turns out she was right. So, you know, she said it like it was. Shannon, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Al.
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. The phones are ringing like crazy right now. Let's go to James in Hudson. Okay, James, how's one of my favorite city over there in Hudson?
Yes. Well, your lovely wife is from here.
She is.
So, anyway, I just want to say I'll be quick because there are a lot of people that want to get on.
Yep.
I voted for her husband twice. I would love to have a woman president. I think it's embarrassing that we haven't had a woman president. Ireland has had a woman president, but they don't have the same power.
No.
But they, I think she lacks integrity, and I think.
Wait, let's stop you right there and ask you about the integrity question. What part of?
She makes up things.
Like
and
what?
And the whole thing about running down the tarmac.
Okay, so yeah, we heard that one already. Al Gore invented.
Yeah, I know. I agree, and it's okay. And I think she's a super smart woman. I think she was a great Secretary of State, and I also don't like political dynasties. But something else said earlier. But I'm rereading 1984, which I super recommend that everyone reread right now.
Yeah.
And she will say 2 and 2 makes 5. And yeah. I have the same problem, and I voted for Obama both times, and I have the same problem with him that I think he's. This sort of NSA thing is a little
But I read on the presidency a lot, you know, and you take a look at a Roosevelt or even an Ike, and they made very calculated political decisions, which were in the light of day, you know, post hoc, propter hoc sort of. You know, political.
I'm glad you said that. It's one of my favorite Latin tags.
It's by the way, a Cuomoism. He says it all the time. Not young Cuomo, old Cuomo, older Cuomo.
Yeah.
Hey, James, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, sure.
Right. Let's go to Nancy in Albany. Okay, Nancy, you have a story for us.
Yes, a little bit of a story, Alan. This is the first time I've ever called, so okay. I'm a little nervous. But
don't be nervous. It's ridiculous. Okay. Now when you're talking to me, you should never be nervous. Go ahead.
Well, many years ago, one of our daughters got married and moved to Fayetteville, Arkansas, because her husband was doing a postdoctorate there. And quite by accident, she was trying to make new friends, and she made friends with this wonderful young woman. Well, it just so happened that this wonderful woman had just lost her mother to breast cancer. And so, come to find out, she was the daughter of Hillary Clinton's best friend.
Uh-huh.
And Hillary stepped in and was absolutely wonderful, supportive, loving, everything that we would want our children to have if something happened to us. So I'm just saying that we see her, she's always made out to be so cold and calculating and cruel. And she has a side to her that not many people see.
No, she does. I agree with you.
And I think we need to keep that in mind. And I think we have only to look at her own daughter to see the fine parenting and loving parents that she's had. And I think as president, both sides of that personality would come into play, and we'd be very fortunate to have her.
You've made your statement, Nancy. We thank you for the call and the insight. We're going to go and try to wrap this thing up, okay?
Thank you, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Now let's go to Paul in Palatine. Okay, Paul.
Hi. Young. Hello, Alan.
Yeah.
Alan, appreciating all the personality stuff about Hillary, I think it's more important, and I'm thinking, and you made me, because of comments you made a couple of weeks ago on a different subject, you made me think of this guy, Newt Gingrich, versus President Clinton, and the whole changeover. I think the next election that's most important is the congressional elections coming up prior to whoever becomes
president. Yeah, but that wasn't the question today, but go ahead.
So my point is the presidential election, I think that some blindfolded chimpanzees could take darts and pick up 10 acceptable, quote-unquote acceptable, 10 names.
All right, but that was Paul. Hey, Paul, that wasn't the question today. The question was, who do you think is going to be on the presidential ticket? You may question the question, but the fact of the matter is, what you're doing, give me an answer. Who do you think will end up running? Don't talk to me about chimpanzees or anything else.
Ah, I see. I believe that a person just like Barack Obama will come to the forefront, who neither you nor I have the slightest clue about, because I was the last person to think that some guy from maybe the south side of Chicago would suddenly come up and knock off this unbelievably powerful Hillary Clinton two elections ago.
Okay.
I think there will be a totally unknown name. Totally unknown.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, Paul from Palatine. Thanks. Call again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Cece in Lee. Cece and Lee, go ahead.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm actually in California, and I'm visiting here. I formerly lived in the Berkshires. So
cool.
My take is definitely Hillary Clinton all the way. She broke the glass ceiling in that primary election.
Right.
And her problem was maybe campaign managers. And also we know that Obama had two of the best in the world and had electronic contributions. But I see her now all the way.
And for vice president?
And I've been on her support network. And vice president, I'm looking at Wendy Davis.
So two women.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So there you have it for me.
We do, Cece. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Let's go to Andy in Oneonta. Okay, Andy, you're on.
Hi, how you doing, Alan?
Good.
I think it's going to be Hillary and Christie, and I think it's going to be a whisper close race. I think a lot of people would consider Christie to be a great guy for a moderate compromise. But I wanted to comment on the fact that three times now you've said what I thought always was a canard, that Al Gore said that he invented the internet.
Yeah, well, that
and
seems
he was
to be
always mocked for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's what he said. Now, I'm not swearing to this that this is truth, but my understanding was that he always said that he was on the committee in Congress that heard the early testimony about converting the military communication computer program into a public-based internet program.
Okay, now, Andy, that's not the subject today, but I am going to have to do my homework on that. This is, widely reported, but as you point out...
And I know it's not the subject today. Yeah. That's why I started out. It's going to be Hillary Clinton against going to prison.
Well, you've done it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Bill in Kingston, and that'll do it. Bill in Kingston, you got to make it fast.
Hey,
what do you got?
I just I heard that someone else had mentioned Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
I think she would make a fabulous president.
But don't you think she's too far left for the middle of the middle?
I agree. And Hillary, I have my own reasons for not wanting her to be president, but she would make a killer president. She's a street fighter. She knows the ropes, and she's brilliant. But I just think Elizabeth Warren knocks her out of the water.
Okay.
I prefer her.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that seems to be it for the day. I want to send a big sign out to Ray Graff, who's on vacation and who's not here today. And I also want to apologize to anyone who is thinking about calling but who didn't do that. That's your problem. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. And the Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering farm fresh cuisine, outdoor dining, and nightly entertainment. 10 minutes from Tanglewood, RedLionInn.com. And the New York State Canal Corporation, featuring the journey of the replica canal schooner Lois McClure through the Erie Canal this summer. Cruise the past, unlock the adventure. canals.ny.gov. And the Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living and more. Caring in the Family Tradition, 518-393-8800. And thanks again, everyone, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Kimball Lipscomb. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell, our wonderful Colleen. And our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartog. Stay tuned now for some filler music and some news.